the same example that he is. I wish all of our young people could be that kind of an example with their friends, as Jennifer made mention of, that they're in school or on their job site, wherever they may be at, that this world needs a whole lot more of Jesus Christ and a whole lot less of the things that's going on today. This morning, for those of you that have pen and paper, I'd like for you to take them out for just a minute. If you don't have any paper, there's use one of the envelopes there in the seat, one of the offering papers, if you would. I'd like for you to get that out for us. And we're going to compare this morning. Everybody's got pen and paper. I'd like for you, for just a moment, write down the three things that you are most thankful for. Would you do that? The three things that you are most thankful for. It's not a test. All right, some of you are complete. Go with us to the book of Psalms, the 100th chapter is where we'll be reading from this morning. And we will come back, if the Lord will allow us to do so, to what you wrote down in just a little bit. Book of Psalms, 100th chapter. There's five verses in this chapter, and we're going to read all five of them. He says in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations." And that's the whole 100th chapter of the book of Psalms. And today I'd like to use for a text similar to what we just asked you to write down, what are you thankful for? What are you truly thankful for? David, here in his word, has told us that we ought to be thankful for everything that we have in this life. That we ought to be coming to his house and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He didn't say we had to be in tune or in pitch. He said just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because this is a place where we've come to magnify his name. To lift him up. And he said in verse 2 that we ought to serve him with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Church ought to be a joy. Because we get to come to the house of the Lord. This morning I want to give to you what David has said in these five verses, and it's also my testimony. The three things that I am the most thankful for. The first one, as David is saying here, that we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. It's the Lord that made us and not we ourselves. But we ought to be thankful for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. We ought to be thankful for him because he has done all things for you and I. Our lives did not just come together by chance. We didn't just plan out our own lives and our own future, but God in eternity past made it so that we could enjoy the life that we have today. When we look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he's given us everything that we need in this world. John 1 and 3 says, that he is the creator of all things. And there was nothing that was made that was not made by him. Today, we worship him and are thankful because everything that we see in this world that is natural, God made it all. And everything that is unnatural came from sin and destruction. We're thankful for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost because he sent his Son to be our Savior. When we were lost and had no way of getting back to God, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, that we could have a way back to God. He sent forth the Son to be our Savior, and the Son came to die sinners, or to save sinners. And I'm thankful that I once was lost, but now I am found by the grace of God. Because God, the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in verse 3, it's telling us all of these things, that his Son came to die for sinners like you and I. And some may say, I don't read that in there. He says that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He is my shepherd. And his Son died for your sins. But not only did he die, but he rose again on the third appointed day, that we would have a living Savior. Many of the gods that this world serves, they are still dead and entombed somewhere. But church, it ought to make us thankful this morning and almost put a shout in our heart that our Savior died, but he rose again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I serve a risen Savior. He died for me. And then he told us that he would not leave us comfortless, but when I go away, I will pray the Father, and I will send you the Comforter that will lead us and guide us in all paths. He gave us his word, the Bible, that we could open up at any time and read why we ought to be thankful. I said earlier, a lot of folks go through a lot of time and expense making the big meals, and folks, there's nothing wrong with the food, but that's not what Thanksgiving is about. We ought to have a thankful heart every day for what God has done for us. He made heaven for us, big enough that every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever be born could go there and enjoy the inhabitants of that place. That wasn't an afterthought, but heaven has been there all the way to eternity past. There's never been a time that heaven wasn't, nor God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They've always been here. And heaven is big enough for us all. I'm thankful for the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost because he's coming again. Yes. Hallelujah. He's not coming to set up a kingdom. He's already got a kingdom. And I'm thankful today that I get to live eternity in heaven above. My days down here are numbered. But when I close my eyes on this side for the last time, I'll wake in God's big heaven where they'll be singing and shouting and praising God for all eternity because we're thankful. How many of you are thankful that God saves sinners? I'm thankful for it today. Salvation came through and by his Son, Jesus Christ. You say, why did you put the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as your number one? Because you can't separate them. It is the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And without God, I'd have nothing to be thankful for. I think we ought to praise Him this morning. That we have Him in our hearts and in our lives. Number two, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the church because it's the place where the Word of God is preached in His power and His purity. The Word that brought me to the point that I recognized I was lost and undone. Church, we ought to be thankful today that we've got a church that we can feel the presence of God in the midst of it. To where that the Word of God is preached and not sugar-coated. We don't try to offend anybody, but if the Word of God offends people, they just have to take it up with the writer of the book. I'm thankful for the church because it's where I was taught right from wrong. People don't like to be told they're wrong. They like to be happy where they're at. But this book showed me through the church and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the lives of people that was part of the church, it showed us that there is a better way to live your life than what the world is doing today. I'd rather live for Him than anything I know. I'm thankful because the church is where I got introduced to God. Brother Emerson, at first I didn't like the introduction because it revealed to me that I was a sinner. It revealed to me that by obeying these commandments, I still could not go to heaven. It introduced me to someone that loved me more than mom and dad and brother and sister. Bible says, scarcely would a righteous man give his life for his friend. But Jesus gave His life for us. And this ought to make us want to shout. But while we was lost, Jesus said, you are my friends. Hallelujah. When we should have died and went to hell, you know what Jesus did? He put His arms around us and said, but Father, this is one that I died for, that they could have life and have it everlasting. He introduced us to God through the church. Without the church, people cannot be saved by God's grace. And yet, we're seeing the church is in trouble today. The true church is in trouble. Not in God's eyes, but in our eyes, because the church will be here when God sends His Son to get the church. But we're seeing a great falling away from the church. And folks, let me encourage you this morning. Without the church, no birth can happen. We ought to work with everything's in us to preserve the grand old church. Even if people don't like what's being preached or being taught, or, you know, we don't have a lot of programs. We don't have a youth ministry. We don't have a bus ministry. We don't have a lot of the social programs that a lot of churches have. But we do have something that a lot of them don't have, and that is that we have the old-time way of worship where the Spirit comes down and meets with us. When you take that out of the church, you no longer have a church. You just got a civic program that's being carried out. And I would rather feel the unction of the Holy Spirit than I had to have a good time on the ball court. I'm thankful for the church because that's where I found salvation. I may not know the exact time, and I may not know the exact date, But I know there was an old-fashioned altar where I knelt down and I asked the Lord to save my soul. And I want to tell you, I've had a lot of good news through all these years, Brother Ron. But the greatest news I've ever heard was when I felt the presence of God come in and that burden was lifted. And the preacher, the pastor asked me if I felt like that I had prayed and asked God to forgive me. And I shook my head, yes. He said, do you feel like God has saved you? And I shook my head, yes. Is it not the best thing that ever happened to you? Is when God came in and saved yours and my dying souls. I'm thankful for the church because it's a place of worship for all generations. It was good enough for my mother. It's good enough for my father. It's good enough for me and Becky. It's good enough for my children. And hallelujah, it's good for my grandchildren. If God tarries is coming, it'll be good for my great-grandchildren. If time goes on, it'll be good enough for all the world if they'll just call upon his name. And I'm thankful for the church because I have a family like no other. You may not like to acknowledge that I'm part of your family. But praise God, I've got a family here that is the best family there is. I've got natural family that I can't even, I choose not to even be around because of their lifestyle. I don't need a drunkard. I don't need to be around somebody that speaks all kinds of cursing and blasphemies. I like to come to a place where there's unity of the Spirit of God, that you don't have to worry about what somebody is going to do or how they're going to act except for me, right? I've got family here that we are closer to than even natural family. And you say, that's a shame to say it. You know why we say that? Because we've got more in common than we do with a lot of our natural family. And then David is saying here in this 100th Psalm, he's thankful for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's thankful for his church, and he's thankful for his family. Mom and Dad. I see a lot of families, and I look at what they have on the natural realm, and I'm impressed. But Brother Charlie, I wouldn't take anything for the way that I was raised by Mom and Dad. We was poor, but we had everything. Somebody ought to be at the verge of shouting. We didn't have a lot of what the world has, but we had something that the world didn't have. We had love. I never doubted whether Mom and Dad loved me. They proved how much they loved me. Brother Jeff, Mom stayed at the home and took care of us kids, and Dad got out and worked his fingers off, so to speak. And it didn't matter how many hours he had to work. He loved us enough to provide for us and make sure we had food on the table, a roof over our head, and clothes to wear. We did not live in the finest of neighborhoods. We did not wear the finest of clothes, and many of our meals were just whatever Mom could throw together. And I saw this past week. And Sister Tara, I got to bring it up. One of my favorite meals growing up was when Mom threw together one of those things that she called goulash. She don't like it, but I was thankful for it. Amen. Because you see, it didn't matter. Kids, listen to me. It didn't matter what mom set on the table. That's what we had to eat. We couldn't go to McDonald's or Wendy's or somewhere else and get something or get something else out of the refrigerator or the pantry, because whatever they made, that was your choice. And I turned out pretty good. Or at least I think so, Emerson. I'm not malnourished. And that's what I mean when I say I turned out pretty good, Brother Wayne. Many of us today, we probably ate better then than we do now, because we become junk food junkies. And the sad part of it is we brought the junk food appetite into the house of God. Amen. I don't want junk food. I want the real food. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. We may not see eye to eye, but they're still my family. I'm thankful today, and this all goes under family. How many of y'all wrote all these things down? I'm thankful for my wife. I heard a couple amens. Let me repeat it again, because some of you may need to adjust your hearing aids. I'm thankful for my wife. And the wives ought to be thankful for their husbands. In fact, the scripture tells us that a good wife is hard to find. They're hard to find. That's why when you find a good one, you better stick with her. And if you find a good husband, women, and you notice I'm being very specific about this. In the family, God made it for man and wife, not man and man and woman and woman. And what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Amen. We don't always see eye to eye. Anybody tell you they got the perfect marriage is a liar. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. It's as perfect as you make it. There's times I like Becky, and there's times I don't like her. But I still love her. And there's times that she don't like Roger. I'm wise enough to know that. First amen she said all week. Maybe all month. But there's still love. I lay down my life for my wife and my children. I lay it down. I'm thankful for my children. They're not perfect. How many of you got perfect children? Some of you trying to prod your mom or dad to raise their hand when I said that. But let's be realistic. I once was a child. And I wasn't perfect. How many of y'all was perfect growing up? And how many of us thought we was getting away with something? Not knowing that when we become moms and dads, we was wise to what was going on. And our moms and dads was wise to what was going on in our life. The only person we was fooling, and you're fooling, is yourself. Thankful for my grandchildren. They're my family. They're my future. And they're not perfect, but we're working on them. Amen. Reese got a perfect part the other Sunday. This old man will never be perfect, but there's a perfect part down on the inside that God has placed there. You see, I'm thankful for God that He gave me a family and a church. I'm thankful to God because of His grace and mercy, for His peace and His joy, His love, for the healing that He gives to us. This morning, how many of you wrote down you're thankful for God? How many of you wrote down you're thankful for your church? And how many of you wrote down you're thankful for your family today? Amen. But today as we enter into Thanksgiving, we ought not put the emphasis on worldly things, but we ought to put emphasis on those that's there in the household. And we ought to let them know that we're thankful that God lent them to us for a short season. But most of all, we ought to tell our church that we're thankful that we've got this church. Most of all, we need to look up and say, Lord, I'm thankful I've got you. Without you, I'd have no church. And I'd have no family. And I'd have no reason for living. In my closing this morning, that's why a lot of people are suicidal or trying to commit suicide, is because they think they have no one. Even if all your family forsakes you, God still loves you. He is trying to ward off the devil that is giving our people those thoughts. How many of us have thought at one time or another, nobody cares about me? You know where that came from, Sister June? That was straight from hell. Because there's always been somebody that loves us and cares for us. Brother Lloyd, and I hope you don't mind me reciting what you told us in Sunday school. At 9 years old, he was put out because his mother had married, am I telling it right, another man. And that man did not want the children. Though mom and dad may forsake us, though brothers and sisters may forsake us, I'm never alone. No, never alone. How many of you are truly thankful that God has watched over your whole life? We are where we're at today because of God. People say, I did it because of what I did and who I am. No, it was God that gave you the intellect, the strength. In fact, it was God that woke us up this morning and gave us the health and strength to come out to his house today. Are you really thankful? While Robin Sharon gets us a song this morning, there's been times in my life, times maybe even through the day, that I'm not as thankful as I should be. Some of us today need to go back to our grassroots. You know what the scripture would say? We need to go back to the old paths. And remember all that God has done for us. And tell one another how much we love and care for our brothers and sisters. If I haven't told you lately, I love you this morning. I love you. You're my family. We've got more in common than what you may realize. And let me close with this. You know why? We've got the same father. We've got the same mother. Some of you say, but I didn't get saved at Mount Carmel. The church is the church of the living God. There's only one church. And whether you may like it or not, we're all brothers and sisters. Every one of us. Every one of us is brothers and sisters. And we ought to treat each other as such. Right? In love. In unity. And be so thankful. You know, I heard Becky, maybe she was talking to Tiff. I don't know who she was talking to. She could have been talking to herself. I don't know. She said, but on Thursday, we could just go to Cracker Barrel or Bob Evans or somewhere. And you know, that sounds good to me. You know, it's not about the food. It's about who you're with. In fact, let me close with this. I'd rather eat by myself a bologna sandwich and be in peace than I had to be in a great banquet with a bunch of people and feel so out of place. Amen. Sometimes at work, people say, why don't you go out to eat with the sales reps or the vendors or all them? And the answer is very simple. Most of them, I have nothing in common. And most of them are buying you a meal to try to get something. Amen? Let me tell you, you come to our house and eat a meal, I'm not looking for anything. Bring a dessert. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Today, if you don't know God, you don't know what living is all about. If you don't know God, you don't know what Thanksgiving is all about. You know, in the 1600s, I heard, what was the exact date, 1620? Some of you history people helped me. When the pilgrims set it up, they came to America, they sailed through the boisterous seas and got here safe. And after they was here, they came to have the freedom to worship God. And look what's happening today. The freedom to worship God. And after the crops came in, they had a meal of thanksgiving. It wasn't for the land. It wasn't for the Indians. It wasn't for all the people that came over on the Mayflower, the Santa Nina, or the... Some of y'all about as lost as I am. I got two of them, right? Whoever it was. When they came over... I'm not a history. That's Brandon. What they did is they wanted to have a get-together of thanksgiving unto God, who blessed them and gave them this land and gave them a safe journey and gave them a time that they could get together. In fact, they was practicing what the Bible says about the feast of first fruits. They was giving back to God praise. This morning, we ought to be thankful for all that God has given to us. Everything. No matter how big or how small. We ought to be thankful for it. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song. I wonder today, has your Thanksgiving got to be unthanksgiving? Has your life gotten so wrapped up that you have got everything that looks like that you need except for one thing, and that is God? If you don't have God, you really don't know what Thanksgiving is all about. So I invite you to come while they sing this song.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest.
Anyone at all today? Anyone at all that would take that step and say, I want to be thankful. I want to appreciate what God has done. I will give you rest. Follow your heart this morning. If I can confess for a minute of time, growing up, I said I was thankful for mom and dad, and they put that roof over our head and food on our table and clothes on our back. But there was times that I was unthankful. And I wondered why we could not have what everybody else had. But it really wasn't everybody else. There was a few. There's always been a few that's either got money or good credit to be able to dress their kids and grandkids to the best of what is on the market. Sometimes we had to wear hand-me-downs. And sometimes the hand-me-downs were a little bit too big. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Or they was out of style 5 years ago. But we felt like we were styling. Because we had that pair of britches that we saw our uncles wear, and we couldn't wait till they outgrew them. Folks, we should never be ungrateful for what God has given to us. I said this here the other Sunday, and I'll close. I don't care if you wear the same outfit every Sunday. Be thankful that you have it. Right? Be thankful that it still fits. And I heard a thing, or I saw a thing this week that said, make sure on Wednesday everybody rolls your scales back 15 pounds. Somebody's planning on eating a lot of food. But today, it's not what's on the table. It's what's in your heart that matters. Amen? Have you enjoyed being to the house of the Lord this morning? Brother Ron, take your little bag there. It's got those pins in it. I almost forgot. Anybody didn't get one, make sure you get one. It's not chocolate, so don't try to get two. But get what you want. Amen. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Sister June, or Betty? June, Joan. I'll get you right. Hold on a minute. Thank you for that. I got it written down at the house, but I'll tell you anywhere, anytime, all right? I got too many things going through these. The neutrons and protons are firing, but sometimes they get a little out of whack. God bless you. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and God will bless us again.